I'm going to show you a few examples of a few instances of the methods of feasible direction, in particular the Frank-Wolf method and the projected gradient method. Okay, so let's start with a very, very easy example. Where is it?
The objective function is x1 squared plus x5 times x2 squared in R2.
And the feasible region is a rectangle. Let me. And I'm showing you here it is. So
the rectangle is 0.5 times minus 1.5. 1.5. Okay, so we want to minimize this function here. First thing, we know that the minimum of f all over the two space is 0, 0. Okay, and the level curves are elliptic. Okay, here they are. So this is 0, 0. 0, 0 is not inside our feasible region. It is the only point at which the gradient is 0. Okay, so we are looking for a point that satisfies this stationarity condition given this way. Okay, the one for the case in which capital X is a convex set. Our set is a rectangle, so it is obviously convex. So, Frank-Wolf method at the current iterate solves this problem. It minimizes this quantity over the feasible region. This is a linear objective function. It's a linear term plus a constant value, which doesn't affect. And then moves, you get the optimal solution, and then takes, this is the optimal solution, and then it takes a step according to a measure rule along this direction. Okay, so let's try to see it in practice. Let's start, for instance, here. Okay. The gradient will be done this way. Okay. So we are minimizing a linear function over a box, over a rectangle, so it's linear programming. Okay. We know that the at least one solution is in one of the vertices. Okay. I'm saying minimizing, so no, sorry, the gradient is in the other direction, sorry. Okay. This is minus the gradient. So, indeed, we find that the optimal solution is here. Okay? So, we take a step according to permissive procedure from here in this direction. Okay? This is x bar k. We take a step, we compute the procedure, and we end up here. Okay? Now we start once again from this point. So the gradient will be done roughly this way. Okay. So now you expect the optimal solution of the Frank-Wolf subproblem to be here. Okay. So you take a step along
this direction according to their mission procedure. You end up there, and you go on. Okay? So, now it goes by itself. What do you notice? Well, it is getting slower and slower. And what is the reason? Well, the reason is that since we are solving a linear program at each iteration, except for a particular case, solution adjusts in one of the vertices. Okay, and here this polyhedron has four. Two are on the wrong side, where the function is growing a lot. So the possible points x bar k at each iteration are just these two. Okay? And the algorithm is just switching between the two. Okay? At one iteration, this is x bar k, and at the next iteration is this other vertex. Okay? So it is winding up and down. Okay? And you are moving, you are doing slower and slower steps towards the optimal point, which is here. Okay? So, beyond showing you the method, this very simple example shows you one of the troubles of the Frank-Wolf procedure. Okay? If the polyhedron does not have many vertices, okay, it may start fast. Okay? Maybe I could have chosen another point to go directly here, but then it slows down a huge lot. And indeed, there are results which tell you that convergence gets better or less bad if the shape of the polyhedron is rounder and rounder. Okay, the more vertex you have, the more it is like a chord. The better it goes, but still will be a slow method. So this is a Dirac. The advantage is that you just have to solve linear programs. Okay, which are generally easy to solve. Okay, I stop it. Let's see. It performed up to now 92 iterations, and we are still not really close. Okay, the optimal solution is 050, and our current solution is what? Okay. Okay, second component is pretty good because it's 0.006, but this is 0.58 rather than 50. Okay. If you have questions, doubts, or just you are curious about something, please ask. Okay. Just examples. Well, let me perform the same just same problem, same objective function. Let's change the feasible region. Okay, the feasible region is a circle of radius, I would say it is center, should be 1.50 should be the center of the circle, and the radius should be 1. Sorry, this is okay, it's not exactly
see if this one is good. Okay, so
okay, it's not a circle, it's an ellipse,
because the center is where I told you, okay, but this half arch is long 1.5, while this other one is just 1, okay?
So it is an ellipse, it is not a circle, sorry.
Okay, I randomly chose that as a starting point.
Now, you're not solving a linear program as a sub-problem, because the objective function is linear, but the feasible region is not a polyhedron. Okay? It's an ellipse.
So, okay, first step goes here.
So the grid is something like this, and it goes there.
You perform Armijo. You get this point.
Now the new optimum value is here. You perform Armijo. Now points there, and so on. Okay? The first part has been a bit faster. Now it is slowing down as well, okay? But not as much as the case in which you had the polyhedron. What is... Oh, we are pretty close to the solution now.
What is the drawback? Well, you have to... Here, when you solve this problem, when you minimize this, you do it over a circle, okay? A circle is still a pretty good feasible region, but the price you have to pay is that you have nonlinear constraints.
But, okay, the algorithm took 16 iterations and it stopped with a pretty good solution, okay? 0.501 and here you have two zeros after the dot.
So you have this trade-off in the Frank-Wolf algorithm. Your feasible region is a polyhedron. You solve linear programming, which is easy, let's say, to solve generally. But the method slows down a lot because there are not many S bar K to choose from, okay? In our example, there were just two. As the region becomes, let's say, more rounder and rounder, the algorithm goes faster because here you have an infinite possibility for this point, but you need to solve minimize linear function over nonlinear constraints. Okay? So linear programming is no longer a tool you can use.
Okay, we had another type of we had another type of method of feasible direction we studied, that is a projected gradient. So I'm changing now a little bit the objective function, which is still quadratic, and it is
x1 minus 2 squared plus x2 minus 1 squared. Once again, our objective function of two variables is a quadratic function. Okay. But the minimum point, if you have no constraint, this time would be the vector 2, 1.
okay? And the level curves are centered, in this case, no, sorry, here in the example I have the two here, okay? And level curves are ellipses with this center. Okay, so let's run it. What's the name? Grad Pro. Okay. As I told you, you can do projected gradient in two ways. Okay. Or you use the projection as a point as a, to identify a descent direction, and then you perform an Armijo line search, or you just take the projection. Okay. Let's first see. So you have your physical region. You take a gradient step. You project, then you can perform the line search in this direction, or you can simply take this point. Okay. The first method, the first situation falls within the scheme of visible directions. The other one not, and we did not take a look at the convergence result. I just, in your lecture notes, you just have the statement of the results, which involves some boring calculus techniques. And so, let's do the projected gradient within the feasible descent, feasible direction, sorry, scheme. Okay, so the region I choose here is
the circle of center 0,0 and radius 1. So let's start, for instance, from, let's say here it should be minus 1,
let's start from minus 1,0, for instance. Okay.
So, here is the point at which the function takes its minimum, which is outside the visible region, and this is our unitary circle, centered in 0,0. If you look at it, it doesn't look like a circle, but like an ellipse, but take care that the unit length, okay, the unit length on the x-axis is not equal to the unit length here, okay? So it's a bit, I don't know how to say it in English, sketchado, huh? Compression. And so I choose this point, okay? So I take a gradient step. So I move from my current point xk along minus the gradient for a step, for a fixed step that I chose, and I get here, outside the feasible region. Okay. Now I project. Since this is a circle, the projection is easy. It is enough to take this point, the center of the circle, take the line, and get to the intersection. Okay. There is a simple formula that tells you that. So, I take the projection here. And this will be x bar k. Now, I perform a line search along this direction. And I end up here. I take a new gradient step, I get to that blue point, I project, I perform a line search here, and I get this new third point, and so on. Now it's going by itself. Okay?
I mean, these are very simple examples, just for you to have a picture of the methods. Okay, if you look at the level curves, the optimal value should be somewhere here. Okay, and we are approaching.
I stop it? No, it stopped. Okay. This is the point it did find. Now, we can repeat the same, just taking
the projection as the new point. Okay? We didn't prove convergence. I didn't tell you anything about it. But this method works if this step is small enough. Okay?
So let's start from the very same point. The method is somehow a bit faster because you perform less operations. Okay? So you start here, you take a step along minus the gradient, you project, this is the new point. Okay? Now you take once again a gradient step, you project, this is the new point, and so on. Okay? You are already pretty close to the solution. In this example, it looks like that this method is better than the other, okay? But it is not always so. For instance, and I'm showing you now a simple example, if the local minimum is in the interior of the region, okay, when you project, if you ended up outside the region, the new point will be on the border, on the frontier. Okay? And so you will have to make a number of steps before you end up in the interior of the region, and the steps you are taking are small enough to remain in the interior of the region. Okay, let me show you first of all the picture. Okay, let's say 0, 0. Okay, this is the graph of the function. Okay, and the feasible region is the unit circle. Okay, as you can see, this function has a maximum here and local minima here and here. Okay. I don't remember which one of the two holes is goes to the actual minimum. I don't remember if this is local and this is global or vice versa. But it doesn't mind. Here, this local minimum, this minimum is inside. Okay. I don't give you the formula for this function, but it is done with apart that it is here, but it is too small. Sorry, it is given here, and the point is this one. You build it with the exponential function. Okay, it's something done this way. Here you have some value, and here you have some other value. Okay, if you use this function, you get a maximum. Okay, the function is done this way. If you put a minus in front of it, you get a value. Okay, mountain plus minus value. And the function I choose three points, P1, P2, and for one I took positive sign, and for the other two I took the negative sign. Okay. So the part with the positive signs is responsible for the maximum, while the other two with the minus are responsible for the valleys. So rather than this, let's take a look at. Okay, sorry, there was something more here. It's not much relevant. I want to. Okay, let's do feasible region and then start once again from the very same point. Okay. Okay, this is the unit circle, this is the maximum, okay, and these are the bottom of the two valleys. One has the bottom inside the feasible region. Okay. Let's start here. This is the step you take. So you remain inside the feasible region. You perform the amnesia search. You go to that point. And so on. What happened? Okay. Now it's doing it by itself, okay? This is the first step it gets out, okay? And then you end up here. I think I did not choose a good starting point. Let's now perform the same operation without taking the Armijo step. Starting from the very same point. Clearly, as long as you remain in the feasible region, okay, it's even performing better. Okay. Now the trouble is that you get out, you get on the border, you remain inside, you get out, you project, and so on. So now the method will continue switching from here to here, okay? And as iterations go by, somehow you have iteration, inner iteration, which will approach here, but it will take longer. Okay. I'm not going to show you this, but there is also another stationary point, which is roughly here. Okay. So, according to your starting point, you may end up here or here, okay? There are, let's call them basins of attraction, by Jimmy Edgerton. Okay, for instance, if you start from points in this area, you will end up here, okay? So, this is another information. These methods converge from any starting point. Unlike Newton method, which requires to start close from solution, start close to the solution. But when there are more than one stationary point, they converge to different stationary points. Okay? Different starting points can lead to different stationary points. Okay, this is still going on. Okay, it didn't manage to enter this area yet. Okay. Is switching from this side to this other side. So, do you have questions? Curiosity? So these are very simple examples of the method we described in the last two lectures. Okay. I want to devote some time to possibly two applications now.
I write them from different fields, but they're both very common fields of application for optimization. The first comes from traffic networks. Okay? They could be traffic in the sense of car, they could be traffic in the sense of data, okay? Traffic over a network. The second will come from finance. Okay? Will be how to select a portfolio of stocks, portfolio investments, okay? From a pool of possible stocks. So,
let me start. Okay, this is still going on. Let me start with traffic. I describe the problem, then we take 5 minutes break, and then we'll see the numerical part. What do I need? Traffic. Okay. So, I give you the idea of the problem. You have a network, okay? So, which is represented through a graph, okay? And let's say cars or data, or more generically, commodities, enter the network at some point, and then leave this network, okay? Or you can consider this as a part of a larger network, okay? So, the flow enters here, flusso, flow, okay? And all the flow has to get out here, okay? You want to know how the flow distributes over the network. What is the trouble? The trouble is you would like the flow to cross the network in minimum time. But the time you need to cross a link, an arc, depends on the flow that is on the link. Okay? Think about a street. Okay? Think about here Diagonal Road. At night, there is no car, you can pass through the street in a certain amount of time, okay? You came back at midday, okay? There will be many cars, and you will take more time to go to the end of the street, okay? So, somehow, the times to cross an arc depends on the flow that is on the earth. And this is unlike what you have been seeing in your undergraduate course of operational research, in which the cost or the time was fixed. Okay. In this example, I think, do you see the colors? Okay. These arcs are green. The vertical arcs are green. Some of the horizontal arcs are blue. And some of them are red. Okay? Green means they are fast, somehow. Red means they are slow. Okay? The time to cross it grows fast with the flow. And here it grows slowly with the flow. And the blue parts are intermediate. So you would like to know how the flow distributes across the network in such a way to minimize the travel time. Okay? So, what are your variables?
Well, okay, before the variables, the data. The data are the structure of the network. Okay. The amount of flow coming in and getting out. And then, you must have for each arc a function telling you how the time to cross the link depends on the flow. Okay?
So you have functions of one variable only
for each arc. You have a function let's say Tij, which depends on the total flow V which is crossing the arc. So the remaining data is this one. I will show you two types of function. One is called time load. Actually should be flow. Flow. And the other is called BPR. Okay. This stands for Bureau of Public Roads. The Bureau of Public Roads is an organism in Chicago that studied
the problem of traffic, okay, in the street,
in the area of Chicago, and in the 50s they proposed a way to a function that gives
the time needed to cross the street, okay, as a function of the total flow on the arc. Okay, these functions are called also congestion functions. Okay, so the problem is a problem of traffic over networks with congestion.
Okay, if you want to give a name to the framework.
Now, variables. Oh. Si è piantato tutto. Proviamo così. Okay, I think this is telling us that we need to take a break. Before we take a break, okay.
Your variables are just the flow on each arc. Okay. So that the constraints are the usual flow constraints of flow programs. Okay. Flow conservation. Okay. All that get in has to get out. So there are those classical constraints, you sum xij all over j, here, xij minus xji, you sum over j, and this is to be zero because everything that comes in has to come out. Okay? And then you have xij, which has to be greater or equal than zero, and maybe smaller than some capacity, maybe. Okay. Classical from your operational research course. Okay. And these are linear constraints. Okay. So the problem is subject to linear constraints, which brings our mind to Frank Wall. And what about the objective function? Well, this is the time needed to cross arc ij. How many units are crossing this arc? Xij.
So the total time needed for that arc is Xij times this function.
Okay, suppose you have two cars, okay?
And they both go on that arc.
For one of them, the time needed is this one. For the other, it's the same. So you sum it twice. You take it twice. Okay? And then you sum all over all arcs. Okay? So this is the total travel time.
Okay? So you minimize this function over the over this polyhedron which provides you the which is provided you by the classical row conservation and capacity constraints.
So linear constraints but non-linear at the distance.
Okay, so let's take a 5 minute break. I try to restart the computer, otherwise, okay, we have to figure something out.